Magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name forever.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name forever.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name.
Heavenly Father, we magnify your holy name this morning. Today is another Sunday of Thanksgiving, the last Sunday of the second quarter of the year. Father, we have come to offer thanks unto you for preservation, for your mercies, for your love that has kept us this far. Father, I set our thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, may your word come off unto us with life. And Father, may your word accomplish its purpose in our life this morning. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let us have our seats. We want to bless the name of the Lord for this morning. Today is another day of thanksgiving. And if we are actually reflective, irrespective of what is happening, we will know that for everyone who is present here today or who is listening to me, wherever you are connected on the online channel, you have a reason to praise the Lord. You can imagine the last Thanksgiving Sunday we had here was the last quarter of this year in March. And since March, yes, we have been fellowshipping. We have been meeting online. But we have been craving for a time we were able to come into the church like to express ourselves in the presence of the Lord. It's not as if God is not everywhere. But you see, we have not had that opportunity to come together like this. Even when we're having a Thanksgiving online, we all knew that it's not like having it in the presence of the Lord with all of us together like this. So but that the Lord has kept you till today, and that today you are among the people who are in this Thanksgiving service, whether you are online or here in the church, is a reason to praise the Lord. So this morning, I want to exhort us briefly on what I call the joy of his presence. The joy of his presence. And I will take my text from the book of Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. It said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." In your presence, there is fullness of joy. This morning, I don't know maybe you are wondering whether your joy is full or not. One thing I know, the fullness of joy is the quest of every human being. Every day you wake up, I am sure one of your greatest desires is to have the fullness of joy. True of us. You know, happiness and joy are usually used interchangeably and as if they are the same thing. They are similar, but are not exactly the same thing. Happiness is just an emotional feeling of satisfaction. And that is why when people want to be happy, they do a lot of things. Money can make people to be happy. When the money is gone, they are sad. Marriage can make people to be happy. When there is trouble or it collapses, they are sad. The unbeliever will say they want to drink so that they chase away sorrow. The moment they are drunk, they are high up. By the time they are come back to their senses, they are sad again. So in other words, happiness is just an emotional feeling. But joy has a root. It is something stronger than happiness. It has a root, and from that root that the happiness springs up. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, to illustrate this, I was being threatened by my Muslim parents or being rejected, and everybody was buffeting me, but I would just wake up in the morning, I just find that joy, and I would ask myself, what is the source of this joy? I've been threatened. My rights were being denied. They were not giving me money for my uptick again. But I wake up in the morning and I find out that I'm happy. And it is okay. It's because I am now a child of God. So joy can only be derived from the presence of the Lord. In other words, if your joy is not full, then the presence of God is too little. Anytime you look at yourself, you are bothered by situation. You are confused by what you are passing through. You are downcast by your experiences, and your joy is not full. It means that the presence of God is not enough. The only antidote for having the fullness of joy is to go into his presence. Remember, the Bible said in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Always, I say, rejoice. So this morning, as we have come into the presence of the Lord, let us come to receive his joy. You know, it is possible to sit in the church and not even be in the presence of the Lord. Because you are bodily present, but your spirit is not communicating with his presence. This morning, I want to encourage you, irrespective of what is happening around, irrespective of the news that we are hearing, irrespective of this discouraging situation, let us practice the art of entry into the presence of God to draw joy. You know, I like this song. Say, in your presence, I am comforted. In your presence, I am comforted. In your presence, there is life, expressions of your love, revelations of your power and mind. In your presence, I can feel an awesome offering. I need the presence of my King in the presence of the Lord. So I want to tell us, as we are concluding the second half of the first half of the year, the second quarter of the year, and we are about to go into the third quarter, I want to challenge you to really cultivate the habit of going into the presence of the Lord in the midst of troubles, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trauma and trepidation. Let us always go into the presence of the Lord. When you come to the presence of the Lord, you find that this, when you are communicating with Him, with all of your heart, the Spirit of God will just come into you. And you find out that even the body that you have will be lifted in His presence. When the presence of God, anytime you go into the presence of God and you are praying and you leave the body in there, it means you are not really actually cortex. You are not really touch His presence. You are not really enjoy His presence. You don't leave the presence of the Lord until the body is lifted, because the Spirit of God must come and minister unto you. No, remember why Christ was going to interrupt? The Bible says that the Spirit of God ministered unto Him. He was burdened. He was troubled. He was saying, my Father, why are you forsaking me? But the Spirit of the Lord came to minister unto him. So when you are in the presence of God and the Spirit of the Lord ministers unto you, you find out that your trouble will become, will not really attract so much weight. But the moment you are attached so much weight to what you are passing through, it means that the Spirit of God is here to fully minister to you. No, there's this also I can say, is something more than gold. Is something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. Is something more than gold. Is something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is what? Is something more than gold. Yes, gold typifies wealth. It typifies prosperity. It typifies honor. It symbolizes recognition. But that song, he said, the Spirit of God in your heart, in your life, is more than all these things. So if you are considering the year and you are reviewing January till now, and you are so burdened, you are so bothered, you are so worried, you are so troubled, you are stupefied and you are traumatized in your mind, come into the presence of the Lord. Come and derive the fullness of joy to remove the weight of burden and let the spring of joy come into your heart. Out of the presence of God, out of His presence, if the Bible say, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. That means, out of His presence, what happened? The joy can never be full. Out of His presence, there can be trauma. So in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trauma, I want to encourage us, anytime we are feeling burdened, anytime we are feeling confused, let us come to sing until you receive inspiration and receive encouragement. Let me tell you, sometimes when I'm so troubled, when I'm so burdened, I don't know what to do, I just go into the presence of the Lord. I may not know what to say, I begin to speak in tongues. Because even my, I will not be able to, at a time I won't be able to really vocalize my feeling. And I will not want enemy to use my word against me. So in other words, since I'm not happy, and I don't want to say what I want the enemy to capitalize on, I'll just begin to speak in tongues. And after some time, I'll begin to sing. And I discover in most of those cases, the moment I begin to sing, after it, I just see that joy will begin to flow. I just begin to see that I begin to be happy for no reason. And any time I look, I say, yes, God is actually. What am I saying? When you see people wearing long faces, when you people look around and see the weight or the worst on their life, it's because they have not learned how to derive joy for the presence of God. The only solution to the chaos that we are passing through now, not to have impact on you, not to debilitate you, is to actually know how to regularly and constantly go into His presence to derive joy. Just go into His presence, sing a song, worship in the Spirit, bless Him. And just see that joy will begin to flow. And when people are bowing their heads, you just see that you are just happy. You will not be able to put your finger on it, but because the presence of the Lord is with you and His eyes upon your life. I will give you an example of a man that really demonstrated in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trouble, when he was vulnerable. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 I'm going to, because of our time, I will look, 2 Corinthians chapter 20, we look at verse 1, we jump to verse 18, and then jump to verse 22. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's read verse 1 alone, then after I go to verse 18. It came to pass after this also that children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them other beside the Amorites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Jehoshaphat was facing a multifaceted, multidimensional, hydra-headed trouble. If you are facing just one enemy, you know, but battles were open on so many fronts. And let's jump to verse 18. Then what happened? Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. You know, at this time, it was not going to say he will begin to look for army was of no use. Time to take inventory and assessment of the strength of the army was of no use. Time to ask the armory, how many bombs, how many spears, how many horses was of no use. Even the time was not even there. They were a gunner, literally speaking. But in the midst of that, was there that time that somebody would want to worship God? Some will say, where was God when Moab rose up? Where was God when Ammonite joined them? Where was God when other surrounding them came to ally with them? Is God no longer answering prayers? I know in the midst of this pandemic, many people, they have actually wandered away. Some have lost their livelihood. Some have lost their job. Some have had their plans scattered. And in their private moment, they begin to ask, why is this God so callous to me? Why is this year that I have thought I was going to move forward, this now came upon me? And when people are confused, they do a lot of things. Enemy wants to, first of all, put the blame on God and let God make you feel as if God is not faithful. Secondly, he wants to make you feel that, are you really thinking that the word of God is really true? You begin silent or begin to doubt the word of God. And thirdly, you begin to have silent disdain for the men of God. When you hear them speak, something between you begin to revolt. What are they talking about? You may not say it out, but inwardly, you are disdaining the men of God. And also, you begin to develop a silent aversion for the church of God. This is the plan of the enemy. And this actually the stages and the processes that Jehoshaphat should have gone through. First, to think that God is not faithful. Second, to doubt whether the word of God is true. Third, not to believe his prophet again, all the prophecies. And number four, to say, what do I have to go and do in the presence of God? So, but in this moment, what did you have? The Bible say, he bowed, look at that verse again. He bowed his head and they worship him. They began to sing songs of worship. That if we are going to die, let us die in the presence of God. And let's go jump to verse 22 to 23 quickly. Now, and when they began to sing, I asked myself, where did they have the strength to sing? Where did they have the strength to sing? Where did they have the motivation? Where did they have the inspiration? That is not ordinary. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord. Can you imagine? Tell me, literally speaking, what should they be praising God for? Should they praise God that Moabites were about to kill them? Should they praise God that Moabites were strengthened by the Amorites? Should they praise God that they were surrounded, there was no place of escape? Should they praise God that they were sandwiched between an army that was bigger than them? What was there to praise God? My dear brother, my dear sister, even when you don't have any reason to praise God because He's God. See, as we are seated now, many people might be saying, I don't have this, I don't have that. But do you know some have already gone under the ground? That God is still keeping every one of us in this pandemic is enough reason to really worship Him. I keep on saying it. Yes, we are trying to be careful. It's not just our carefulness that is keeping us. It's the faithfulness and the mercies of God. Yoruba will say, "Eniti Oluwa ba koyo, onlo yo ninu ewu. Eniti koko re ba ye, onlo ma lo." So it is God, that God is keeping you. And remember, I keep on saying, when there is life, there is still hope. Say so there is a hope for those that is joined to the living. So as they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord said, ambushment against the children of Hammon, Moab, and Manasseh, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Why the enemy was shooting guns, throwing bombs, they were praising God. As they were singing, as they were worshiping, the Lord said, ambushment. What is an ambush? Ambush is a sudden and unexpected attack at a time of vulnerability. God ambushed them. And I want to say and profess to your life this morning, whatever the battle that is arrayed against your life, against your destiny, that is threatening you, that is no holding you down to a spot or trying to sink the ship of life, that Lord is going to send an ambushment against them in the mighty name of Jesus. Worship God. Go to His presence. When you go to the presence of God in worship, you always say, where you are in there telling Him, I am weak, but you are strong. When they were worshiping, they only say, where we surrender the sovereignty to you. But these other people are saying, yes, we have the power, we have the strength. But in the midst of that, because they praise the Lord, they worship Him, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. And what happened at the end of the day? Verse 23, where I'm just going to stop. And verse 23, what does it say? For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Manasseh, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. The weapon they brought against Jehoshaphat and Israelite, they turned to themselves, they were fighting themselves. The enemies of your soul, the enemy of your destiny, the enemies of your progress, begin to fight themselves in the mighty name of Jesus. And they will destroy one another. But this thing happened because Jehovah recognized the need and the essence of cultivating the presence of God. Remember, I'm talking about joy of His presence. When you are happy, you may think everything is going well. You can come to a church and praise God and thank Him. But when people are unhappy, at that time, do they have motivation to really worship God? And the question I want to ask everyone of us, what do we do when we are vulnerable? When we are vulnerable, when look as if our prayer has not been answered, when look as if things are being delayed, when look as if things are upside down, what do we do? Do we actually, have the motivation to go into the presence of the Lord? Or what do we do? But you know one thing about God? He specializes in bringing glory out in the midst of chaos. When you know your God very well, and you are passing through terrible situation, chaos, and you know how to go to his presence, he always brings joy out of it. You remember what he said in the book of John, John chapter 16, verse 20b. He said that your sorrow shall be turned to joy. That's what the Bible said. John chapter 16, verse 20b. When that was before John was about leaving, he was speaking to the disciples. He said, your sorrow shall be turned to joy. And so, if sorrow is around now, if you're unhappy now, don't worry. Go to his presence. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And it will turn your sorrow to joy. But when you are sorrowful, and then you are crying and you move away from his presence, the enemy, the devil, begin to compound the problem for you. The solution to trouble is not to disdain God. It's not to run away from the word, not to disbelieve the word of God. It's not to disdain the men of God. It's not to disdain the church of Christ. But the solution is actually to cultivate the presence. And Jesus himself said it with so much. Say, your sorrow shall be turned to joy. So this morning, I want to prophesy into your life. Anywhere there is sorrow this morning, anywhere there is sorrow this morning, I prophesy into your life that the hand of that will come upon you and will turn your sorrow to joy in the mighty name of Jesus. So, I don't know this morning, maybe there are some people whose joy has been affected because of your situation. You know what happened to Joseph Bassett? You can imagine what will follow after that. He was in the midst of chaos, trouble. But at the end of it, he literally danced out of that situation. Because I'm sure there will be drumming, there will be singing. Don't you believe me? After that experience, you can imagine the kind of joy and the shouting that we run from the camp of Israelites when they discover that their enemy, the Lord, has set ambush against them, even though they were the ones that had been threatened initially. I say unto you this morning, irrespective of what you are passing through, depression, dissatisfaction, discontentment, the Lord will come upon your life with his power, with his presence, and you will literally dance your way out of it in the mighty name of Jesus. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Remember what I said. If your joy is not full, then his presence is too little. The only solution to bringing joy into your life is to cultivate the presence of the Lord. And I want to round up, I want to take this or to read this verse. And please, I want to give the NIV version. I want you to read it in the NIV version. Job chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. Job chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. Surely, God does not reject a blameless man. I want to listen. Surely, God does not reject a blameless man or strengthen the hands of evildoers. Let me tell you, you and I, as far as God is concerned, because we are named after the Lord, we are blameless. Because the Bible says our righteousness is of the Lord. Verse 21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Yes, today, things are not going well. Yes, since the beginning of this year, things have not gone the way it was projected. Since the beginning of this year, things have not turned the way you expected. But God said, I'm still on verse 21. Please don't go to verse 22 yet. But he said, he will fill your mouth with laughter. You might be crying in your closet. You might be weeping on your pillow. Your tears might be wetting your bed sheet. But God is saying, yet I will fill your mouth with laughter. And now you are murmuring. You are still struggling to look for testimony. But he says, your lips. He will fill your lips what? With shouts of joy. So because of what God is capable of doing, I want you to leap for joy. And know that it does not matter what is happening now. Just like Jehoshaphat. When the army came again, then they were shouting, they were crying, they were weeping. But at the end of the day, the Lord filled their mouth with joy, with laughter. And they heard, God gave them a shout of joy. So whatever pain you are going through now, whichever area you are not happy today, I prophesy into your life, the Lord will come and fill your heart and will give you a shout of joy in the mighty name of Jesus. Just a matter of time, and very shortly, even now, the Lord is going to do it. And verse 22 says, your enemies will be clothed in shame, and the tents of the wicked will be no more. I don't know the kind of people or the enemy, occultic conspiracy, human conspiracy, associate, colleagues, or even coronavirus pandemic, changing spiritual and condition, political climate, economic environment that is conspiring against your destiny. The Lord is going to shame them. The Lord is going to shame them. The Lord is going to shame them. And every tent of wickedness against your life, today in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord will destroy them and they will know more in the mighty name of Jesus. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So I want to challenge you. As we go into the next second half of the year, shortly from now, let us put whatever we have experienced in this first half behind and learn how to go before the Lord to unburden ourselves. It is good to talk to people when you believe they can help you. It is good to seek for encouragement one from squatter that you know that are genuine. But beyond that, and in addition to that, let every individual learn how to go into the presence of the Lord and drop your body and then receive joy. When you go to pray, just begin to sing. Just begin to worship. You don't know what to say. You are speaking. Just begin to speak in tongues until you see a well of joy coming from your heart. Let everybody practice this, so that the enemy will not make us to be, you know, to be carrying long faces, wearing long faces around, so that the enemy will not be making us to be unhappy. So don't begin to say, things around will always annoy you. Your colleagues, the place will annoy you. Even your spouse will annoy you. Your children will annoy you. Your parents will annoy you. Even your brethren will annoy you. But learn how to go into the presence of the Lord, so that won't carry around the body of sorrow. And but let me tell you, the Lord has promised, he will fill your mouth with laughter in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we stand on our feet as we sing this song? In the presence of God, hallelujah joy. In the presence of God, hallelujah joy. In the presence of God, hallelujah joy, in the presence of God. Hallelujah joy,
in the presence of God.
Hallelujah joy,
in the presence of God.
Hallelujah joy,
in the presence of God.
Hallelujah joy.
Hallelujah joy.
I want you now to just speak unto God that, God, fill me with your presence. Begin to ask that, God, will come the fullness of his presence to come into your life. Let me tell you, when the fullness of his presence comes, then sorrow will go. Pains will disappear. Fullness of joy will come. Joy is our eternal quest. Joy is our eternal desire. Joy is our daily need. I want to ask God this morning to help you, to draw you into his presence so that you can sing and worship him and receive joy that beyond understanding. See, when you say you are happy, ask yourself, why am I happy? Am I happy because I have promotion? Am I happy because I have position? Am I happy because I have money? Am I happy because I have property? Am I happy because I'm married? Am I happy because I have children? Am I happy because I have authority? If that's the only thing why you are happy, you have missed it. Yes, all these things are good, but that should not be the only source of happiness. But when you find a joy that comes from nowhere, that's not tied to anything you can explain, that is joy of the Lord. And that's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Ask for the joy of the Lord that can strengthen you, that will defeat pain, sorrow, trauma. Maski polimas kantalaba. Now I want to pray this prayer. Every battle that's arrayed against me, whether physically or spiritually, those that I know or that don't know, Lord, begin to set ambushment against them. Begin to pray that prayer. Every battle that's arrayed against me, whether to my knowledge or without my knowledge, whether they are physical, whether they are spiritual, Lord, you are powerful than all my enemies. You are more powerful than all my adversary. Every battle that is set against me in the physical and in the spiritual realm, my Lord and my God has set ambushment against Moabite, against Amorite. When they came to attack Jehoshaphat, you are saying the same God, Father, set ambushment that you set against Moabite, Amorite. Set this ambushment against every battle, against the enemy that are arrayed against me, whether they are physical or spiritual, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mantri babakas kampa, ragaska baba santa liba, raanda kuskobosh koboliga, raanda kuromokos koboshinda liba, raanda kaskaba shinde libo, rondo koskoboshinde libaba, raanda kuskoboske boliba, raanda kusoboshin bolibaba. In the mighty name of Jesus. And finally, I want you to pray this prayer. The Lord said, I will turn your sorrow to joy. Now begin to say, speak to yourself that every area where there is sorrow, where there is anguish, where there is pain, where there is emotional trouble, begin to ask, tell God, mention that God, turn this into joy. Turn it to testimony. In a corner with your word, I've come to your presence this morning. I must see your fullness of joy and let your promise come to pass in my life that you turn my sorrow to joy. Yeah, the sorrow is there, but it will not last. Yes, the pain is there, but it will not last because you have said you are going to turn my sorrow to joy. So this morning, I turn this sorrow unto you, replace it with joy in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Masi talaba, ra'antakus kaba. Raandu si pailaga, sheboka skaba satalaba, runto koskobo shimalaba, raanda koskobo shindalaba. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our God, we thank you for this morning. I pray for your children this morning and everyone that's hearing me online. Lord, where there is sorrow of heart, where there is pain, where there is trouble, Lord, take it away in their lives and replace with your joy. In the mighty name of Jesus. And anywhere the enemy has set a battle against their lives, against their destiny, against their pursuit. Lord, today, ambush the enemies of their destiny, of their lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. My Lord and my God, I ask, is there anybody who has lost his joy? Is there anybody who just managed to coast along, who is walking around, but deep inside is hurting? Lord, I pray this morning, pour the oil of joy into their lives, into their hearts, and give them testimony. Lord, feed their mouth with laughter in the mighty name of Jesus. Is there somebody who is weeping silently, who is wetting his or her pillow in the room? Lord, my Lord and my God, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Lord, fill such a mouth with laughter in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.